So we've talked about how the informal teaching of worship can happen in these informal settings, in educational opportunities, in homes. This next bit, we're going to be talking just about the organization of worship team, worship ministries. And I really do mean to be mindful here of the fact that some of us work in 5,000 plus member congregations, and we have the opportunity to organize a worship staff that is very large. And some of us, I know, work in contexts where it's 50 people in an emerging congregation. But what I'd like to suggest is, I think the general concepts I'm talking about really do translate, but have to be contextualized in different ways across this spectrum. So here is a set of resources, and what I'm really not interested in is to say to you, here are resources, I hope you go use them. Right? The Institute of Worship Studies, really, we're about cultivating a different set of skills. It's looking at a resource and saying, I could do better. Because you all are the developers of these things. And what these examples are simply templates to inspire the development of better templates. Okay? That's what we're really after here. So this is a series of examples, and each thing is meant to accomplish a bit of a different purpose. Okay, so here we go. Session 5 handout, Teaching Worship Through Worship Planning Tools, Processes, and Training, page 1. I alluded to the first one yesterday briefly, but let's at least spend a minute on it. What questions do we think a worship leadership group should routinely ask regarding each week's services? The template I'm trying to do here is the worship planning team agenda template. We always start our worship planning and evaluation meetings with prayer. Item number one. Number two, we always have some little bit of learning, right? In fact, 12 minutes of learning. Incidentally, our Worship Institute staff meetings back in Grand Rapids. 15 minutes of prayer together. 35 minutes of learning together. 10 minutes of business. That's about the ratio. It's a little radical, actually. Right? But the foregrounding that learning. So I'm interested, let's just briefly, we talked about these yesterday, but the questions that you would put, the skill then is designing the template for the worship planning meeting. Every week, the question, what aspects of God's glory and beauty are luminous to us? Or, what unspoken, unacknowledged needs and concerns can we voice in our prayers? I said a little bit about that at dinner last night. Any other questions come to mind, now that we've been together for 24 hours, that you'd want to build in, hardwire in to your church staff meeting, church council meeting, worship planning meeting, where just asking the question every week will promise to change, transform, deepen the culture of your worship planning? Any
what
other
the questions? Heck were you thinking?
What?
Somewhere. Yeah.
Well, so what I'll say about that is, I can't imagine a meeting ending without it, right? That's got a built-in. Go ahead.
Do you dare ask how they're doing, each individual member? Check out?
Spiritual check-in, I think it depends on the right context, right? Thank you. Like that's a great idea, right? That the spirituality of the leadership team is a key part of the whole ecology. So paying attention to that. Part of the challenge here, right, is there's the constraint, right? You can't actually pick very many questions to ask every single or most times. Yeah, Nancy?
I think one of the things we've heard this time at IWS is how to connect with the global church.
Okay.
And so did we do that, or how did we do that in this next week?
Excellent. So how do we connect with the global church? Thank you. Yeah.
In my context, I guess, first thing to focus on what Sunday of the church here is this.
Mm-hmm. What Sunday of the church here is this? Mm-hmm. What scripture text did we eat last week? Notice the metaphor. Not what scripture text did we just hear. You might have heard many in passing. But was there a particular text that we actually ate? Philippians 2 this morning, I'm telling you. That was served up so that we could eat that text. Right? That's okay. So designing the template. Go ahead.
Yeah. Did we distract from worship in any way?
Did we distract from worship in any way?
Go
So one thing I encourage you to do back home, whatever group you're in, is just take a look at the template agenda and say, how can it be adjusted? It's a great thing to do. It's like an oil change in the car. About every year, you should adjust the template for a meeting agenda to reflect the needs and priorities. Okay, next, completely different task. This is a little worksheet that is recommended for personal preparation of team members who will enter into a conversation that is about shaping a service. Okay? This is not an order of worship. This is just a little guide for anybody who is involved in the preparation process. This is like the little pre-study to do in preparing for worship. And so this begins with a pastor, probably a preaching pastor, choosing the preaching text. And you see you've got an example of Genesis 1 and John 15 here. And so what this little template would do is ask for individual members to take a few minutes prior to any collaborative conversation to think through some things first. What's the theme of this text? What are sounds that relate to this text? Psalm 8. You can't have Genesis 1 without at least thinking about Psalm 1, Psalm 8, right? Psalm 104 is right up there with it, right? And is there a psalm about the Holy Spirit? Well, 104, the Spirit renews the face of the earth, right? By the way, where is one good place to find psalms that correspond with other preaching texts? The lectionary is a great tool, right? This template is designed primarily for congregations that do not use the lectionary, where you have to find the texts that relate to the preaching text, right? If I were designing a template for a lectionary congregation, I would just put lectionary texts right there, list them all, right? And then ask a different set of questions. We'll get to that in a minute. I would also want every worship planning process to ask the question, what are texts from, it should say, the other testament, singular, than the preaching text, right? So that if Genesis 1 is the preaching text, you're forced to ask the question, what New Testament texts resonate with Genesis 1? Well, Colossians 1 and Hebrews 1, Christ is the firstborn of all creation through whom all things were created, is a great match, right? And what about other texts that the sermon might in some way relate to? And then this little chart says, before we even enter the worship planning process, before picking songs and thinking about how the offering's going to be shaped, and the right, let's just let the theme of the text roll around in our minds and hearts and ask the question, how can we praise God differently because of this text? How would we confess our sin differently because of this text? How would we pray for the world differently because of this text? How would we dedicate ourselves to action because of this text? And in what way does this text relate to some powerful motif or theme in the Lord's Supper? Does the sort of point of the template make sense? All right. Now, this is just one template, right? Just one template. What else would you want to build into a template if you were designing it for your church? All right. And I don't think it can be any longer than this, right? That's the constraint of reality. You cannot have it be any longer than this. Yeah, Rob.
What kind of outcome are you heading for? What kind of result do you want to see at the end of this sermon?
Excellent. What kind of result? In fact, one great question can be, of these things, which does the service and sermon most naturally lead to? Just that question would be transformative. Actually, for preachers, what a fabulous thing. For a preacher to say, I hope that at the end of my sermon, people will be prompted to praise in a new way. That's doxological preaching. Other sermons, I want my people to be able to confess sin more knowingly. And as a burden-freeing exercise, right? Or at the point of some sermons is to help people pray for the world in a new way, right? It's often one of these things a little bit more than the others. And then, by the way, how fabulous it is in worship planning to ask the question, how can what we do right after the sermon actually help us do what the sermon hopes we will do, right? Making that connection and intentionality. Excellent. So we're going to add the question to the template, right? How else would you adapt the template? What else would you want to add to the template?
I always think about engaging people in worship, so I think about multiple notices. We don't talk about that. So I look through planning and see how how have they moved? What have they seen? What have they heard? Did I approach somebody who learns logically and mathematically?
Great.
Those are kinds of things.
So the multiple intelligence grid can be another grid, right? In some templates, actually, this template, what would you say the strength of this template is? Right, this template, and this is not a worship planning template. This is a pre-planning template, right? This is just to get us started for the process of planning. The strength of multiple intelligence is that it really thinks about worship that connects to people. Okay. The strength of this template is it really helps worship connect to the Bible. All right. Now, what we really want is a template that helps connect the Bible to people. So really, actually, it wouldn't be bad to have part one, let's do some immersive, generative scripture imagination. And part two, let's do some generative, imaginative, multiple intelligence. Right. Okay, anything else that occurs to you? All right. Next skill, so we've talked about designing a template for worship conversations or meetings, designing a pre-planning template. Next page is a different kind of template. Right? This is the actual, we're going to put the service together template. And wow, does the IWS have a great approach. Fourfold model, and last night, Kent, thank you. Those questions that we were asked in reflecting on the service of the Word was just fabulous practice. It is a great template. Here are two more templates. They're actually so close to the fourfold model that actually you could slightly adjust them and rename them and it would look like four. Turns out this is the fivefold model. This has gathering, word, and then it separates out response to the word before table and sending. But you know, I knew Bob Weber well enough that I could just cross this line out right in the middle and say, really, Bob, this is the fourfold model in just a little bit of disguise. You know, I'm just hiding my particular version of zone defense here, right? For you. That's right. But you see two very different approaches to the 4.5-fold model, right? The one on the left is very detailed. The one on the right is very general and thematic. Say a bit about, when you look at these two templates, what is most helpful to you at your church? And I'm making the assumption, you need to have some planning template, right? You can't reinvent the fourfold model every week. The great gift of the fourfold model is precisely that you don't have to reinvent it every week. So that you can actually sharpen and make your planning very efficient. You go right to the question, how can we make the proclamation of the word the proclamation of the word? And you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Right? Talk about the relative strengths of either these two templates or ones that you may use in your church.
Go ahead, Rob. Well, I don't know if this answers your question, but a lot of us have non-Eucharistic services.
Yeah.
Adjusting.
Yep, and so then you need to have a bracket around the Lord's Supper. You know, though, actually, I know one worship pastor that non-Eucharistic is probably, you know, 5 out of 6 Sundays or something like that. But the worship pastor specifically put a template in like this and then put brackets around the Lord's Supper in the template so that the Lord's Supper was sort of ready to go when used. And here's what the pastor said. What it did is it began to change the understanding of our worship planning group that the Lord's Supper is something we ought to miss when it's not there rather than feeling like it's something we add on the appointed week. And just changing that assumption was ultimately planted the seeds that we needed. It's why these templates matter so much. Oh my goodness, do they matter, right? When it comes to translating the world of IWS into local congregations, pay attention to the templates.
And another question in that regard is when the Lord's Supper isn't celebrated, how can we bring Eucharistic sensibilities?
Oh, great question.
Non-Eucharistic Sundays in an alternative Thanksgiving.
Right. So it's a Bob Weber thing, right? That the prayer of Thanksgiving is immovable. The only question is whether it's followed by the Lord's Supper. That's a beautiful tweak in the template that a number of congregations have made, actually, thanks to Bob's influence. Right. Now, I want to say, I this is no secret here, but am a big fan of these little arrows in the template. That putting the arrows in the template, right? And the arrows are simply meant to communicate God's word is given to us downward. We respond to God upward. We reach out to each other sideways. That just building it, just putting those arrows keeps us very, as worship planners, aware that we want people to experience, we want people to walk out of church. And if you say to them, did you receive the gift of God's word today? They will say, yes. And if you ask them, did you communicate with God today? Did you pray? And they will say, yes. And if you ask them, did you look horizontally as well as vertically and embrace the congregation, they would say yes. And that's those three questions. I mean, there are a lot of services where people walk out and they say, wow, I was impressed by everything that happened on the stage today, right? That was given to me, right? That's a little bit the theology of worship I was talking about yesterday. Designing the template matters a great deal. Any other template suggestions that you have from your context?
Rob? Maybe a question or an observation. I noticed there's only, that I've seen, one horizontal action here. But it seems like, practically speaking, there are more, maybe that are informal, and more that we should be maybe more intentional about.
Yeah. So, right. So, and here's where maybe, exactly. Part of the trick is that the upward and downward are not just the individuals, right? That it's the we who's singing, right? That it's the we who's praying. But maybe it would actually be helpful. I need a little help from an artist, right? So that when it gets down to the prayers of the people, intercessory prayer, that it's like a big upward arrow, but there's a big circle. I need a 3D image so that it communicates it's upward from the y'all, all y'all, right? I mean, from all of us right here, right?
That's good.
Yeah, go ahead.
In a number of traditions, communion would have the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
Should always be.
Horizontal.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, actually, how to draw arrows for communion? Yeah, actually, you could make the case that the Reformation was one big fight over which way to draw the arrow.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right. That the Reformation was an argument for drawing the Lord's Supper as a downward arrow rather than an upward arrow. It's the God feeding us rather than our sacrifice to God. Right? And it took the nuance of John Wesley a little later to get that little beautiful sense of the upward that's in the downward and the sideways all together. And so it's all of the above, right? Right.
And we mentioned yesterday that sometimes we open up with songs that are this way. Brethren, we have met.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
And then we focus.
Right. Go ahead.
I think all of us intuitively discern how much what the energy levels are for various components and the kind of music.
Yeah.
I don't know if we include it in a template, but when we choose the songs and the movement within a service, what's high energy and what's low energy? And this morning, in the singing of In Christ Alone, as it came to the end of it and sped up and got lighter, brighter, faster, it really impacted the congregation. They went to applause. So that was planned.
Yeah.
Whether it was intuitive.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, part of me, actually, in response to that, kind of pictures in my mind, what I really want is I want a full-color template, right? And I want to be able to have, like, a little color palette that goes through the service that helps communicate a little bit of that ebb and flow, yeah? So it maybe actually we're limited here by the fact that gets at that very point. Yeah.
You would take this template and then you would put a color wheel and would red be the more intense and
yeah, sure.
Your color?
Yeah.
Because that's something that is sort of abstract, but it's integral to the ebb and flow.
If you were not blessed with a color printer, right? It even occurs to me this is really tongue-in-cheek, okay? I'm not being serious about this. But actually, if you just went through the service and wrote E and I for moments that extroverts will love and moments that introverts will love, right? Yeah. Just so you get to the end and you've got at least two moments for each. You'll actually have done well, right? But we should probably come up with better terms, like maybe C for contemplative and E for exuberant. That's a little better. What do you think? Got a C moments and E moments, right? No, I'm just playing with you right now, but you know, I am actually serious, right? That the capacity to build this into the DNA of weekly planning may well come down to, can we design a template that accomplishes it? Right. So I think that sounds a little cheesy, but I think I'd do the C and E. Contemplative move, exuberant move. It's good. Anything else we want a template to include?
Dr. Cherry had a lecture in the 702 class that I have to go back and redo because I've never mastered it. At the time, I knew I couldn't. It was too much. But she talked about all the things that should converge in worship, not just traditional and contemporary, old and new, but comfortable and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
She had this whole huge list of things that should converge in worship. And I remember her saying, you can't create that. All you can do is create the opportunity in your worship planning for that. And that's something I've continually thought about, but I can't even remember what they all were. There were so many, and it was too much.
Yes, and you know, so here's the part of the skill we're talking about is how to filter the wealth of an IWS education into something that's realistic. Right. And I think what I'd encourage is to say, look, any template you design for the tasks we've talked about today have to be able to, A, fit on one sheet of paper. Number two, they have to be intuitively understood. If it takes you 3 weeks to explain the template to your team, it has to be intuitively understood. Yeah. And then I would say this, that about every year, you ought to ask the question, is this template serving us well? And so maybe the contemplative exuberant thing is really good to be self-conscious of for a year. But you know what? If you do that for 6 months straight, it'll just be kind of habitually built into your planning. You might not even need to have it on a template. But you might want to have something for C for comfortable and S for stretch, and make sure that the service has at least 2 points that will stretch the congregation, but not too many more ever than two. Right?
Eminence and transcendence.
Yeah, eminence and transcendence. There would be another one. Young children and older adults. Right. There would be another one. Right? Right? And the point is, you have to pick how to design the template depending on where your congregation is at. Right? Great.
I think it's wonderful. It sort of removes it from the more linear, where the clock then becomes
yeah.
the guiding template.
Yeah.
It sticks away from this tech sheet kind of idea.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is interesting that a lot of planning templates I get now when I ask my seminary students to work on it will be tech sheets with running time totals down the side. Yeah. Now, I have learned the hard way that running time totals is something you really need to pay attention to.
Oh, yes.
Paid the price dearly. Right? Oh, these three songs would be great. Right? 7 minutes apiece. 21 minutes. Oh, goodness. Right? I have paid the price. But I would still say, when you get a planning sheet with the tech time as the first thing you're thinking about, if my own experience says that crimps imagination and makes us, to me, it is a spiritual discipline to ask the question about timing later in the process than first. Right? Otherwise, I tend to let the length of the song be far too determinative in what song we actually start with, right? For example. Right. Now, that's my own contextualization, so I value that point very much, FJ.
I would say that one of the things that is significant for me as I think about the templates that we've used in my congregation is an awareness of the way that it connects us backward in time to those who have been before us.
Yeah.
You know, while we're planning, obviously, for present thinking about the age.
Yeah.
But, an awareness, a shared awareness of that whether this is without bearing any being legalistic about that, just that awareness.
Every template is the grateful reception of past practice, right? And that is true in you know, the most Anglo-Catholic congregation. It's also true in the planning template at Willow Creek or a big megachurch. They have a planning template, and it reflects, in fact, the way that historical practices have emerged there, too. Right? So, that's right. Let's take another template briefly. Page 3. This is the song diet template. This might be maybe a little close to something Constance Cherry talks about. I talked with her a little bit about it. And this template, I think, actually, may try to do a little too much. All right. Well, let's just call this the advanced template. All right. The simple template that would bless a lot of congregations is simply songs we already know that express praise. Songs we already know that express lament. Songs we already know that express penitence. Songs we already know that pray for the world. Songs we already know. Right? And just 5 or 10 really basic categories like that. And what I'm interested in this document, is describing and actually just listing the songs we already know. Right? So my contention would be this. Every congregation knows how many songs. Some congregations, about 100. I think some congregations, about 200, which includes Christmas carols. Right? A few congregations more than that. And by no, this is what I mean. When the words go on the screen, at least 50% of the people in the congregation say, oh yeah, I know that song. Right? That's what I'm talking about, no. Right? Or open the hymnal, yeah, I know that song. Out of a standard hymnal for hymnal-using congregations, most congregations know well under half the songs in the book. Right? Well under half. Now, I do not think that worship planning should be limited to songs that people already know. That's actually very dangerous, right? You wind up with insular, endless repetition, right? And very hard for a new song to break in. I would make the case that every worship service, the music chosen for that service, at least 75% of the song, about 75% of the song, should be from the songs we already know list. But unless you have 20 to 25% of songs that are added to it, right, you will never have new songs join the list. The other thing about this, right, every congregation has this number of like 150 songs or so. Right? And every once in a while, new songs bust into the list, like let's think about 10,000 Reasons. Right? We talked about it last night. All of a sudden, out of the blue comes 10,000 Reasons, right? Like a meteor. And in a vast majority of North American congregations, that 10,000 Reasons song is known and loved. Well, here's how this works, right? Without our awareness, some song just fell off the back end. Right? 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 Ask my kids who are 11 years old, do you know Shine, Jesus, Shine?
No.
Shine what? Right? Because that one kind of fell off, right? Now, actually, I was working with a church some years ago where Shine, Jesus, Shine made the list. And the hymn, Beautiful Savior, or Fairest Lord Jesus, fell off. They realized they had not sung it in 7 years. Right? So no one who joined that church in 7 years had sung that song. No kids, right? Just fell off. Right? This is a healthy case of realism here, right? What song should be in that mix? And my case would be that every thoughtful worship pastor, church musician needs some template. And it can be as simple as songs that praise, songs that confess, songs that lament, songs that thank, songs that pray. And then maybe take the songs within those. I mean, some congregations will have maybe 11 songs in that list. You know, praise is probably going to be 31 songs or something like that. Right? And then just look at that list. And even if you don't want to do some elaborate chart like this, you could put C and E, which songs are contemplative and which are exuberant. Churches will discover fast that some churches are, it's an ease, it's extrovert delight all the way down. Right? And some churches it's going to be contemplative much more. And some churches, I think, would benefit by giving it the simple versus complex test. right? That on this list, there should be some songs that are beautifully simple. I do not mean simplistic, but simple, right? And other songs, you need to have songs that are more nuanced and complex. You want a balance of those things, right? And then probably some balance between newly written and long loved. That there's a kind of balance to get right there. So I would say, boy, every church needs to have their own version of this. It doesn't need to be this complex. How would you adapt this template before we go to break here?
And I think it's important. I don't lead worship on Sundays, so I get to be an observer a lot of times. Well, hopefully I'm a worshiper.
Yeah.
But one thing that I notice is that people just don't sing a lot of songs. I mean, the band's going crazy, and it's loud, and there's explosives and everything,
yeah.
And nobody's singing. And then you get to a song like Ferris Lord Jesus,
yeah.
Or something like that, and suddenly the congregation comes to life. So I
yeah.
think, I mean, let's be realistic with who's singing what and make that a category.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
You know, like,
that's
what,
good.
What's really registering?
CP equals congregational participation, right? Or maybe we ought to have a little asterisk for songs that would go well even if the power went out during the middle of summer.
Absolutely.
That would be good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I see what I hope, I guess if there's one thing I hope you'll do is realize designing a template can be actually a rather winsome experience. Right? And actually, I would not be hesitant whatsoever to have that little category. Songs that would go well even if the power went out during the song. Right? And just put that right in as a good reminder that we actually want... See, you do that in the template, right? What'll happen 3 weeks from now, you'll pick... See, that's the amazing thing about 10,000 Reasons. 10,000 Reasons is a song. Almost every time I hear it, I think, no, actually, this is going to go just fine if the band quit playing. That is a contemporary song that the congregation has owned in many cases. But there are other contemporary songs, right?
How Great Is Our God.
Right? That would, oh, How Great Is Our God would, yeah. That just don't. Right. Well, if you just start paying attention to the ones that do versus the one that don't, you'll start internalizing the criteria by which to make better choices over the ones that make the list in the first place.
Yeah.
See, that's the and again, I think just hardwired into the template is where the DNA gets transferred from IWS over the long haul into worship practice.
How about songs that would go well no matter what segment of your congregation sings?
Oh, that's
because,
good.
For instance, this past weekend we had a deacon retreat. We have
yep.
multiple services, multiple styles.
Yep.
But here's all the deacons that go to all these different services.
Yep.
We have one worship leader leading them.
Yep.
And I think he discovered this song resonates with everybody.
Let's call it the IGHR, intergenerational home run category.
How great thou art.
There you go.
That's right.
Right.
So everybody started.
And the minute you make that category, you might discover that you start the process with only three songs in that list.
Yeah.
But by simply naming the category, you plant the seeds to have a year from now eight songs that make
right.
that list.
Right.
And maybe 23 songs 5 years from now. Right? You actually signal that's the direction we want to move, is having a common musical language. That is
wow.
exactly what we're after. Yeah, great.
I think I have scratched the itch of the long loved when I do an adaptation of the long loved song, like a contemporary hymn arrangement or something like that.
Okay.
Then I've just fouled things up by doing it.
Okay.
They want to. Straight traditional.
Oh, yes.
Don't give me that little
fast
chorus.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, okay, so you got to keep track of how these are done as well as what's done. I understand, right? We're at break time. We're going to take a couple more yet. Quick. Yeah.
Is there any way we can share our lists of songs that we have? I'd like a starting point.
Oh, great. Does anyone have this? A list of songs categorized in some way back home? Right. Admit to this, and, right? Now the question is a mechanism by which this can be shared.
There are a lot of worship websites, and they use this words that I can't stand. But they call it their Sunday set list, and
yeah.
they're like the worshipcommunity.com and a few
yeah.
of them, and hundreds of pastors
yeah.
on Sunday will post their five songs.
As valuable as that is, though, I guess I want to say I think this is local,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I think in some ways you almost have to start, but you could start with, an email to 25 people in your church or Facebook posting and just say, you know, what are some of the heart songs in this congregation? Actually, I think HS is another category, heart songs.
Do you realize how long the legend is getting for this?
Yeah, I know. So after all these ideas, right, realize you can probably only keep track of three or four at a time, right? But you do wind up with a template that's kind of complex.